Going to the Jew First. This is the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. I am Aaron Broughton, your host for today. With me today in studio is Mr. Ron Plott, who is one of our workers here at IBJM. Welcome to the studio, Ron.
Thank you.
Well, here at IBJM, we are a ministry that goes to the Jew first, but not to the Jew only. The Bible says to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Gentile. The Jewish people are really small in number, Ron. I think maybe some estimates go to somewhere towards 14 million worldwide. So definitely it's a small number. Both you and I have had some opportunities to minister in Israel as well as other places to the Jewish people. But it's interesting how the Lord also brings Gentiles across our path in that unique ministry. I know one of the things that we've been involved in together is some outreaches in neighborhood parks and things like that. Can you tell us maybe one of those stories of how the Lord worked through this?
Well, it's wonderful to think back how you and I both got to minister together through Messiah Baptist Tabernacle in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is such an international city. Of course, you've got over a million inhabitants in this one city. I'd say 99% are Jewish. So it's not like you have to go looking to witness to Jewish people there. But within that, you also see the foreign workers. Israel literally brings in, the government imports workers. Filipinos to be caregivers to the elderly, Chinese to be laborers in the buildings of the construction of buildings. Our church is uniquely situated right next to the world's largest bus station there in Tel Aviv, and there's a park right across the street. Of course, the Jewish people celebrate the Sabbath beginning at Friday night, and that's the night that most all of these foreign workers get off. And some actually live in the homes and have to work 6 days a week, and they get one day off, and they typically gather at this park to meet each other. And oh, the opportunities you and I had, we would go into these to this park, and we didn't have to worry about offending the rabbis or being confronted by the rabbis because they were in their homes. And, of course, all week long we're to the Jew. And then on this Friday night we're to the Gentiles. And we would have those tracks in Romanian, Nepalese, all these different languages. I remember I came home on furlough and went back, and they had brought in over 1,000 Nepalese workers. And they all were gathered in the park. And to me, that's the uttermost part of the earth, and to think God brought them to me here in Israel. And of course, with the Sudanese a few years ago, when the Sudanese were being persecuted in Sudan,
they ended up in
Israel as refugees. And we had unique opportunities. We not only got to lead some to the Lord, but we baptized them. They became members of the church. And it was just such a wonderful opportunity to see the Lord taking the gospel not only to the Jew first, but also to the Greek.
One of those men in particular was Santino.
Yes.
And really, that's how kind of a ministry to the Sudanese got started. One thing that's, I think, rather interesting is we've seen several that most of these are men now. They get saved, and they actually have a hunger and desire to eventually get back to Sudan to share the truths that they have learned with others. I think that's just amazing. Now, Ron, I guess tell me a little bit more about the international outreach that is not just in Israel, but really that these are sometimes caregivers or workers, and they can reach out even to their own Jewish employers or businesses that they are part of.
Well, I got to visit Toronto in 2010, and many of our Filipino church members that were in Israel are now living in Toronto, and I got to meet with them, and they are working for Jewish people in Toronto now. So it's like God is sending these Gentiles with the love and burden and the gospel to the Jewish people, not just in Israel, but all over the world. And it was unique to see how God is taking the gospel to the Jews through these Gentiles to other places like the world.
Well, God,
I mean, like Toronto, excuse me.
Well, God is definitely doing some amazing things, really in Jewish missions, but really missions around the world. And where there's people, there's an opportunity to minister. Well, Ron, thank you for coming in today. It's been a delight to have you. If you're more interested about the work here at IBJM, I invite you to contact us and just listen to, at the end of the program for our information. But until then, let's now open our Bibles as we now study together with our teacher and Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman.
Welcome back to another radio Bible study. Our survey will examine Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Paul authored this book while in jail in Rome. A statement he made in the first chapter of Philippians implied that he was indeed a prisoner at that time. The church in Philippi came about as a result of Paul's efforts during his second missionary journey, as mentioned in Acts chapter 16. Lydia, a seller of purple, became his first convert in Philippi. Other members of that congregation likely included the Philippian jailer and his family. Paul began his epistle to the Philippians by expressing his confidence that, quote, "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ," unquote. He prayed that their love might continue to abound in knowledge and in judgment. When that took effect, the Philippian believers would manifest their sincerity in all things, abounding in the fruits of righteousness. Those circumstances that Paul experienced turned out to further the spread of his message. Christians gained greater boldness to evangelize as a consequence of what Paul went through. Others preached the gospel out of contention. In either case, Paul rejoiced because the gospel message was being proclaimed, reaching the unsaved. Paul hoped that he would experience no cause of shame because of his ministry. If he died, he would immediately enter into God's presence. If he lived, he would continue evangelizing the lost and edifying the saved. His personal inclinations led toward death. However, he wrote, his converts had more to gain from his continuing ministry unto them. Paul summed it up succinctly, quote, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain," unquote. The Philippian believers ought to have conducted their lives in conformity with the gospel they proclaimed. They should not let their enemies make them afraid. Paul informed them that, quote, "Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me," unquote. In the second chapter of this epistle, Paul requested that Christians in Philippi possess unity amongst themselves. Quote, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves," unquote. Believers should look out for each other as well as for themselves. The apostle would pick up this theme in the fourth chapter of this epistle, requesting that Euodius and Syntyche be of the same mind in the Lord. In that regard, Jesus Christ set the example for them in connection with humility. Paul brought this well-known exhortation to the church at Philippi. Quote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross," unquote. After the Savior's death and his resurrection, God the Father exalted him. Everyone in heaven, everyone on the earth, and everyone under the earth will bow before Jesus Christ. Moreover, every tongue will acknowledge him to be Lord. Paul encouraged the Philippians to, quote, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling," unquote. He did not thereby imply that they had to earn their redemption. The Greek word rendered as "work out" implied the exertion of diligence when laboring at a task. In chapter 7 of Romans, Paul used the word in that sense, with reference to his having the desire to do well, but not carrying his beneficial intent into action. With regard to the Christians at Philippi, Paul wrote, God would work in them in connection with both their intent and the performance of that intent. Paul added that the Philippian believers should do all things without complaining. In that way, they would place themselves above reproach. The apostle intended for Timothy to come to them. He commended his younger co-worker, writing, quote, "I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state," unquote. Paul also sent Epaphroditus, who had just gotten over a serious illness. Paul himself hoped to make a follow-up visit to Philippi in the near future. After exhorting the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord, Paul warned them about those who wanted to subvert their faith by requiring circumcision from them. Paul had attained great distinction as a Jew in connection with his ancestry, his education, and his zeal for Judaism. However, he continued, quote, "I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith," unquote. The apostle wanted to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. He also desired to be a partaker of the Savior's sufferings. Though Paul did not believe that he had already attained those goals, he continued to press forward to achieve that objective. He forgot his past. Instead, he focused on his future, desiring, as he put it, quote, "the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus," unquote. Paul exhorted the Philippians to follow after him. He warned them against those, quote, "whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things," unquote. Paul reminded the Philippians that the Christian citizenship remained in heaven. The final chapter of Philippians contained a number of admonitions. Christians ought always to rejoice. Remember that when Paul wrote those words, he was in the Roman prison. Christians should allow the world to see their moderation, that is to say, their fairness. Instead of becoming worried, Christians needed to commit their request to God, and God will grant them his peace. Paul also told the believers in Philippi, quote, "whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things," unquote. This admonition goes along with the apostle's statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, namely that Christians need to bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. In that regard, Paul held himself up as an example for the believers to emulate. The apostle followed up by stating his willingness to accept whatever God had in store for him. He wrote, quote, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content," unquote. Whether experiencing prosperity or undergoing degradation, Paul declared that he could do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthened him. Paul noted that the church of Philippi was the only congregation that gave him money to meet his financial needs. These donations remained separate from the special collection that Paul took for the believers in Jerusalem, a collection he described in the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians. As with the other Macedonian churches, the congregation at Philippi had little wealth to contribute, yet they gave cheerfully. Paul pointed out the circumstance only to mention how he reckoned this generosity to be spiritual fruit on their behalf. He promised them, quote, "My God shall supply all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus," unquote. The epistle to the Philippians closed with a brief salutation. Even the saints of Caesar's household extended their greetings to the believers in Philippi. Thank you for listening to this radio program. Please come back for more broadcasts about the books of the New Testament.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hixson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.